filled with tears a moment, but she said nothing. Vetch came home the next day and took his leave of the notables of Ismay, who were most unwilling to let him go off to sea in midwinter on a mortal quest, not even his own. But though they might reproach him, there was nothing at all they could do to stop him. Growing weary of old men who nagged him, he said, "I am yours, by parentage and custom, and by duty undertaken towards you. I am your wizard, but it is time you recalled that though I am a servant, I am not your servant. When I am free to come back, I will come back. Until then, farewell." At daybreak, as gray light welled up in the east from the sea, the two young men set forth in Lukfar from the harbor of Ismay, raising a brown, strong-woven sail to the north wind. On the dock Yarrow stood and watched them go, as sailors' wives and sisters stand on all the shores of all Earth's sea, watching their men go out on the sea, and they do not wave or call aloud, but stand still in hooded cloak of gray or brown, there on the shore that dwindles smaller and smaller from the boat, while the water grows wide between. The 10th and final chapter, The Open Sea. The haven now was sunk from sight, and Lukfar's painted eyes, wave-drenched, looked ahead on seas ever wider and more desolate. In 2 days and nights the companions made the crossing from Ifish to Sutter's Island, 100 miles of foul weather and contrary winds. They stayed in port there only briefly, long enough to refill a water-skin, and to buy a tar-smeared sailcloth to protect some of their gear in the undecked boat from seawater and rain. They had not provided this earlier, because ordinarily a wizard looks after such small conveniences by way of spells, the very least and commonest kind of spells, and indeed it takes little more magic to freshen seawater and so save the bother of carrying fresh water. But Ged seemed most unwilling to use his craft or to let Vetch use his. He said only, "It's better not," and his friend didn't ask or argue, for as the wind first filled their sail, both had felt a heavy foreboding, cold as that winter wind. Haven, harbor, peace, safety, all that was behind them. They had turned away. They went now a way in which all events were perilous, and no acts were meaningless. On the course on which they were embarked, the saying of the least spell might change chance and move the balance of power and of doom. For they went now toward the very center of that balance, toward the place where light and darkness meet. And those who travel thus say no word carelessly. Sailing out again, and coasting round the shores of Sutter's, where white snowfields faded up into foggy hills, Ged took the boat southward again, and now they entered waters where the great traders of the archipelago never come, the outmost fringes of the Reach. Vetch asked no question about their course, knowing that Ged did not choose it, but went as he must go. As Sutter's Island grew small and pale behind them, and the waves hissed and smacked under the prow, and the great gray plain of water circled them all round clear to the edge of the sky, Ged asked, "What lands lie ahead this course?"
"Due south of Sutter's there are no lands at all.
Southeast you go a long way and find little Pelimer, Cornay, Gosk, and Nastawell, which is also called Last Land, and beyond it, the open sea."
"What to the southwest?"
"Rolamenny, which is one of our East Reach isles, and some small islets round about it. Then nothing till you enter the South Reach, Rood and Tomb and the Isle of the Ear, where men do not go."
"Ah, we may," Ged said wryly.
"I'd rather not. That is a disagreeable part of the world, they say, full of bones and portents. Sailors say that there are stars to be seen from the waters by the Isle of the Ear and Farsor that cannot be seen anywhere else, and that they have never been named."
"Aye, there was a sailor on the ship that brought me first to Roke who spoke of that, and he told tales of the raft folk in the far south reach, who never come to land but once a year, to cut the great logs for their rafts, and the rest of the year all the days and months they drift on the currents of ocean, out of sight of any land. I'd like to see those raft villages."
"I would not," said Vetch, grinning. "Give me land, and land folk. The sea in its bed and I in mine.
I wish I could have seen all the cities of the archipelago, Ged said as he held the sail rope, watching the wide gray wastes before them. Havnor at the world's heart, and Ea where the myths were born, and Sheliath of the fountains on Way. All the cities and the great lands and the small lands, the strange lands of the outer reaches, them too, to sail right down the dragon's run away in the west, or to sail north into the ice floes, clear to Hoganland. Some say that is a land greater than all the archipelago, and others say it is mere reefs and rocks with ice between. Ah, no one knows, and I should like to see the whales in the northern seas, but I cannot. I must go where I am bound to go and turn my back on the bright shores. I was in too much haste, and now have no time left. I traded all the sunlight in the cities and the distant lands for a handful of power, for a shadow for the dark. So, as the mageborn will, Ged made his fear and regret into a song, a brief lament, half-sung that was not for himself alone, and his friend, replying, spoke the hero's words from the deed of Erathacpe. Oh, may I see the earth's bright hearth once more, the white towers of Havnor. So they sailed on their narrow course over the wide forsaken waters. The most they saw that day was a school of silver pannies swimming south, but never a dolphin leaped, nor did the flight of gull or murra or tern break the gray air. As the east darkened and the west grew red, Vetch brought out food and divided it between them and said, "Here's the last of the ale. I drink to the one who thought to put the keg aboard for thirsty men in cold weather, my sister Yarro." At that Ged left off his bleak thoughts and his gazing ahead over the sea, and he saluted Yarro more earnestly, perhaps, than Vetch. The thought of her brought to his mind the sense of her wise and childish sweetness. She was not like any person he had known. What young girl had he ever known at all? But he never thought of that. She is like a little fish, a minnow that swims in a clear creek, defenseless, yet you cannot catch her. At this, Vetch looked straight at him, smiling.
You are a mage born. Her true name is Kest.
In the old speech, Kest is minnow, as Ged well knew. And this pleased him to the heart. But after a while, he said in a low voice, "You should not have told me her name, maybe." But Vetch, who had not done so lightly, said,